The winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on Voice of Barbados 92.9 FM. You can call us at 434-1790. You can send us a WhatsApp at 253-4679 or an email at cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guests is brought to an association with the very good friends at Barbados Lottery, promoting youth sport and culture.
It's time to scratch your ticket. Scratch and you could win it. Plenty lottery games to win. Scratch and you could win something.
Win up to $200,000 instantly with Cash Money, the new $20 instant super scratch ticket from the Barbados Lottery. The Cash Money Super Ticket has four games on each ticket with a whopping 62 chances to win. Available at Barbados Lottery agents islandwide.
It's time to scratch your ticket. Scratch and you could win it. It's time to scratch your ticket. Scratch Barbados Lottery.
Well, the West Indies side in Sri Lanka not doing well at all. In fact, we would have had visions of glory when the team left these shores to go to play against Sri Lanka. The results are not good. Three matches played, the West Indies not winning a game. In fact, when you look at the series, perhaps in the first game and possibly the last game, they really ought to have won. But these things happen in cricket, and the cricket tongues continue to wag across the world. In terms of the women, Down Under, well, they've not done well at all. The West Indies team out of the T20 World Cup. They still obviously would feel that maybe there were one or two positives, but overall it was not a good performance by the West Indies team. But talking about good performances, as we turn our attention to the regional championships, Barbados are top of the stack. In fact, they've played like champions. As you know, the Jaguars have won the last 5 years, but they're getting a real challenge. Barbados out from 108.2 points from their six matches. They've won five matches. In fact, five on a trot. And the Guyana Jaguars, they've got 79 points in terms of the Scorpions, 61.2. The Volcanoes, 56.8. The Red Force, 54.8. And the Leewards, 40.4, and the situation is that the Barbados team now very much in Trinidad and Tobago to play against the Red Force. That game is going to be at the Baron Lara Academy, and we also have the Volcanoes playing against the Scorpions. Scorpions very much up and down that game in the Spice Isle at the Grenada National Stadium, and the Jaguars will play against the Hurricanes. The Hurricanes have in fact given them some trouble in recent times. And that really is going to be a game that we're certainly going to be looking forward to. The Jaguars up against the Hurricanes. That's at the Guyana National Stadium. So the situation is not a good one at all for the West Indies. I'm joined, of course, by co-host Dr. Andrew Ford. We're going to be going around the Caribbean. As usual, we hope to touch base with Sir Curtly Ambrose, Sir Andy Roberts. We also hope to go to talk to the big cat, Sir Clive Lloyd. And we're hoping to touch base with Wendell Coppin, the manager of the Barbados side. And we also want as well to start to look at Skerritt's first year in office. As you know, Ricky Skerritt would have won last year. I think it was March the 24th. And no doubt we're going to be looking at his first year in office. We also want to be touching base with a couple of journalists. But without any further ado, let's go across to my co-host. It's always a pleasure to see you, Dr. Ford. First of all, the West Indies team in Sri Lanka. ODI is not doing well at all.
Good night, Andrew. Good night to all the listeners. It has been a disappointing three-match series for the West Indies and has put in perspective our deficiencies, which are mostly on the in the bowling side of the game. We just depended too much on Alzari Joseph, and Cottrell was underperforming as well as Holder, but our economy rates were quite high, all five plus heading towards six, but we just didn't penetrate well enough. And in the batting, we depended on Shea Hope a bit too much, and no one else reached 100 runs for the series. So You need a much more balanced approach, even though we did well in two games and chased pretty well and set some close games up. I think we have to get more input from other members of the team. We also had a few chances in the field, but all in all, it was disappointing because we were so close on two occasions. It shows that the two teams are evenly matched, but when the crunch time comes and the pressure is on, you know, the real stalwart stand up and Angelo Matthews for Sri Lanka played a big part, starting to bowl again after such a long period of not bowling. Looks a hell of a lot fitter, and I think that Sri Lankan team, all in all, just looking at them structurally, they looked fitter than the West Indies. And when you check what happened in the batting with Sri Lanka, Fernando and Mendes, who had was lucky to get a chance, they got 100 in one of the matches, Pereira, they all contributed. And on the bowling side, their bowlers bowled a lot better and shared the wickets around. If you look at the silver, the silvers, Pradeep and Matthews, they're all way under our economy rates for the three-match series. So they were more efficient with the bowling. They shared the wickets and more of them contributed with the bat. And they looked at ease. And in the middle overs, we just didn't look threatening. So that's one of the problems that we have. And it shows that in the white ball version of cricket, unlike the tests, we do have a problem with penetration. We can't just depend on young Joseph. We have to look at you know, what other assets we may have to employ. Another thing that we have to consider is what is happening to our young leg break bowler, Hayden Walsh. I have been speaking about this at intervals over the last few series, and Hayden Walsh bowled 8 overs in his two matches. When you look at it, he may have gone at 7 and over, but a leg break bowler is supposed to leak more runs. But if he's going to be a wicket-taking threat, we have to have some confidence in him in the middle overs and let him get some breakthroughs for us. And the way he's been performing and the way he's been handled, being under bowl, I don't think he's developed at all in these few series, and he needs to be given a bit more rope if we are to get a bowler and the rain isn't going to be around.
All right. Well, we're going to certainly do an assessment of the women as well. But let's go first of all to St. John's Antigua and talk to the CEO, Johnny Grave, who's on the line. Johnny, good evening to you. How are you?
Good evening, Andrew. Yeah, I'm okay, thanks.
Okay, good.
I'm on the weather slightly, but...
Yes, I know. I think you need to come to Barbados and go to Bronx Beach, and if that happens, you wouldn't have a cold.
Yeah, I don't know how you get a cold in the Caribbean, but I think we got one.
All right. Now, Johnny, I know we're going to look, first of all, at the disappointment of Sri Lanka. You would have been expecting much better results.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, very disappointed with the results. I think playing away from home is never easy. And, Mickey Arthur is clearly the new head coach of Sri Lanka. Has got them playing to a good standard. And I think if we'd won that first one, then national, getting a win under our belt, the momentum in the series, it might well have been a very different outcome. But I think it's always difficult to try and take positives out of a series loss like that. I know we haven't won in Sri Lanka for a long time in one-day cricket. And, you know, we've been pretty honest with our one-day cricket being probably our weakest format and where we've got to do the most amount of work and improvement. But, I think, looking forward, the one-day international league starts in July here in the Caribbean with a visit of New Zealand, and that's where every game matters, because every game is contributing in the league towards the automatic qualifying places for the 2023 World Cup. So I think my hope, trying to take positives out of the tour, is that the team are continuing to progress and learn, and hopefully... We did see some positive performances, particularly that of Alzari Joseph coming back from that injury he sustained last year in the IPL, and Fabian Allen coming back from his injury he sustained in India and doing well in the lower order. I hope there's still some positives the team can take out of the tour and learn from the experience, and hopefully, as I say, when we come back together to face New Zealand in the Caribbean, that we're in a position to get off to a good start in what will be a very difficult and challenging league in order to get those automatic qualifying spots.
And the women, well, you talk about the men, but the women are dung on, they're not doing well at all. What's gone wrong there?
No, look, I think we made the decision to go out early to Australia to have a preparation camp in Brisbane. And very surprisingly, for that time of year, or for any time of year in Brisbane, we didn't really get much cricket in because of the weather. So I don't think our preparation was as good as it could have been. And clearly, with arguably one of our best players, DeAndre Dotting, being short of match, international match preparation to play, you know, for her to have got more time in the middle against those three one-day internationals who were playing against Pakistan, I think would have been really helpful for her and for the team who looked to her to really lead in terms of our batting lineup. But yeah, very disappointed with the result. I think we know how strong Australia are and some of the other countries, and we know the enormous task we've got to do to maintain being competitive in women's cricket. But yeah, the level of the performances in Australia have been disappointing, particularly that defeat to Pakistan, which clearly dented the confidence of our players significantly.
Mm-hmm. How seriously injured is Taylor, the captain?
My understanding is she's got a groin injury and that it's not too bad, and certainly it's not going to rule her out for a significant period. And as you know, Andrew, we've got South Africa coming here towards the end of May, early June, which is 5 one-day internationals, which will help prepare the team to go to Sri Lanka for the World Cup qualifiers, which is the Women's World Cup in 50-over format. Takes place in early 2021, and we've got to qualify for that. So it'll be massively important that we get Stefani back fit and the whole team sort of pick them all up and get regain their confidence and prepare for what will be very important qualifiers in Sri Lanka.
Mm-hmm. Talking about Sri Lanka, Johnny, would a tour of Sri Lanka be financially good for the West Indies?
A tour away is never financially good for the West Indies, Andrew. Yeah, unfortunately, when we tour away, we get no revenue at all. We just get the cost of the multiple international flights and the player match fees and other ancillary sort of on costs. So playing away from home is never good financially, I'm afraid, due to the way the economics of world cricket are currently organised.
Mm-hmm. But of course, you're looking to improve your finances in 2020, though, because you've had challenges in the last couple of years.
We have, and look, I'll be honest, we continue to face enormous challenges. Yes, we're a non-for-profit business, and every dollar and cent that we raise goes back into investing into our cricket programs. But on the back of the financial review that took place before Christmas and was approved by our board, we're trying to make transformational changes to our business. We've now completed, subject to the final paperwork, the acquisition of the Coolidge Cricket Ground, which is just a magnificent facility and opportunity for West Indies cricket to fundamentally change the way in which we prepare our young and emerging players and our top talent. We're looking, obviously, to have ambitious plans to redevelop that facility, not just from a cricket point of view, but also for facilities that complement the cricket and reduce our operating costs. But also that will generate new revenues and bring more money into West Indies cricket.
Mm. All right, good night, Johnny.
Good evening.
Are there any new financial opportunities on the horizon, or do you think Cricket West Indies will be looking to maybe borrow some funds to help with the initiatives and programs in the near future?
We're certainly going to do long-term financing for the Coolidge Cricket Ground. At the moment, we've effectively bought the venue out of our operating cash flow, and we need to turn that into a long-term financing and replace some of that operating cash into the business. I think one of the things we are going to have to do is in a far better way than we've done ever before in our history, I think, is live within our means. The international landscape isn't necessarily the way it's been, where for the most part of professional cricket, in a fat professional sport, revenues have been increasing year on year, and I think that we're now into a very challenging few years where traditional media companies that have been the bread and butter of most organisations in professional sport, their business is under significant pressure, as everyone who watches not just sport but TV and entertainment changes their habits significantly, and fewer of us are watching any sort of live entertainment, and particularly sports through TV, and therefore the TV companies' business plans are under enormous pressure and strain, and many nations in the world, including ourselves, will be facing a drop in revenue. And therefore, we're going to have to be very agile in terms of how we manoeuvre that ever-changing landscape. And hopefully, the sort of new players...
It seems to have disappeared.
Johnny, he's disappeared? What's wrong there? It's gone?
Yes, the call may have dropped out.
Okay, well, let's try and see if we can get Johnny back.
Yeah, it's making some interesting... considering our situation to buy the ground out of our revenues that we have, out of our cash flow, because I believe we were told we had a cash flow difficulty and a deficit of tens of millions with the last financial year. So it'll be interesting to see how the ground can really help to contribute to the revenue stream of the Cricket West Indies, you know?
Yep, I think that's a question that we certainly should put to Johnny. We're trying to see if we can get him back on the line now. I know that Larry Mears, the technical director here, is trying to make that connection again to Johnny. We actually lost him in the middle of a rather interesting discussion. Of course, this is Mason and Guest. I'm Andrew Mason, and very much we've got Dr. Andrew Ford in the studios as well. So, Larry, have you been successful? Well, we're going to try to see if we can get him back, because I also want to talk to him about Evan Lewis. You know, I think I'd be interested to find out exactly what's going on with him, because, as you know, he didn't take the tests.
Yes.
And my question is...
He's deferred the tests,
but
possibly?
Well, I mean, that's the question that we can certainly try and ask Johnny as well. And, of course, the whole question of the four-day competition, it's been very interesting in terms of Barbados's dominance, and I really wanted to talk to him about that as well. So we're going to try to see if we can actually get him back. I think we might be in a position to make that connection again. Yes, we have. All right, so Larry Mears has been successful. Larry, come to the top of the class. Yes.
Yes. Well, Johnny, I'm glad that you're back.
Yeah, apologies. I don't know what happened.
Yes, well, these things do happen. Now, I was asking you, you'd mentioned purchasing the ground out of the cash flow of Cricket West Indies, and we... We're made aware of the deficit from the last financial review. I wanted to know if we've been able to accrue any revenue from the ground thus far after purchasing it, because it feels like almost a year that we've had it.
Mm-hmm.
Have we been able to gain any financially, or we've just been servicing that debt?
Yeah, we've actually been operating under a lease agreement with the leaders of the Stanford Development Company. So for the last 3 years, we've been leasing the facility.
Mm-hmm.
And under that, we have been generating revenue from not just the athletics club that's been in operation, but also the airport car park and running events. So yes, it is making revenues. But in terms of our plans to redevelop the entire 16-acre site, they're much more ambitious than that, and we would be looking to significantly increase the revenues from us that we invest in that site.
Mm-hmm. Johnny, let's go back now to the whole question of Evan Lewis. In fact, when you went off, I was just about to ask you about Evan. What's the latest on him? He didn't take the test, did he?
No, he didn't. He opted to take his time in terms of building his fitness and conditioning. Obviously, there's white ball cricket, as I explained earlier, in July against New Zealand, and Evan's not at the moment anyway got an IPL contract, but who knows whether he gets the opportunity to go to the IPL if there's injuries or some players are unavailable for that tournament. But at the moment, he's chosen to work on his fitness and conditioning and not retest for now. Yeah, I guess we're probably slightly disappointed that he didn't take up the opportunity offered to him by the Trinidad and Tobago Cricket Board to play for the Trinidad team in the four-day championship. But again, that's very much his decision, and we have to respect it. But as I've said many times before to you, Andrew, and to others, that you know, we firmly believe that playing long-form cricket, four-day cricket, or five-day test cricket, it helps improve your cricketing skills in all three formats. And we've certainly been encouraging all of the players in the system to be embracing all three formats and not specialising in any one of them.
Mm. So it is not necessarily then mandatory to play four-day cricket in order to play for the West Indies, say, in an ODI or in a T20 or Test match?
No, not this stage. It's not mandatory. But clearly, if you're contracted to us, then playing in four-day cricket is something that we can mandate to those players that are fully under contract.
Mm. Don't you think that's a bit generous, though, Johnny? I mean, the fact that a guy doesn't have to play and can play when he likes?
Well, I mean, obviously, we can only do our best to try and encourage players and give them our advice, particularly from the cricket experts, telling them that playing four-day cricket or five-day cricket will help them with their cricket. But at the same time, if players, Evan's no longer a young man, you know, he's 28 years old,
right.
He's played 8 years of professional cricket. If he decides that he thinks that for his career and for his talent, he wants to focus on the white ball skills, then unfortunately that's something that we have to just respect, and that doesn't stop us continuing to try and get him and others to focus on all three formats of the game.
Mm-hmm. For a player who's under contract, a white ball contract, is there any monitoring? I know he's opted not to do the test, but is there any way that Cricket West Indies keeps tabs on what's happening and assesses a player who is inactive but under contract, even with a looming tour in July?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, Evan's not under any contract with us, so when he plays for West Indies, he plays under a tour contract rather than an annual contract.
Okay.
But again, there's probably only three players that are in that situation. Virtually everyone now in the system is under a full 12-month contract. So, and for those players, very much, they are fully monitored by our science of medicine and our coaching staff, and there's very clear communication between us and the players in terms of what their cricket program looks like, not just for the next few months, but for the year ahead, and from a strength and conditioning and fitness and injury recovery point of view, then they're very closely managed by all the medical practitioners in the system.
Okay, but so Evan isn't on a contract, but so he's different to the contracted players. Let's say, as has happened in the past, Evan gets injured during a tour and misses a few matches but stays on, or gets injured and has to return. Does that affect his remuneration in this type of arrangement?
Yeah, it does. I mean, players obviously who are under contract are fully insured, not just for their monthly payment salaries, but also for a percentage of their mismatch payments if they're injured. If you're injured on a tour under a tour contract, you would receive the payments if you had been fit for the whole tour, but after that, then you're very much you're not covered by any policy.
Mm-hmm. Is Cricket West Indies happy with the overall fitness of its players, men and women?
I wouldn't say happy. I don't think people like me are ever happy. We're always listening to our critics and are perfectionists and want to get things right and drive and improve standards across all of our cricket. But certainly we have to recognise that from where we were 2 years ago, we have made significant progress. And we're already developing plans to start medical screening and fitness and conditioning programs through our youth tournaments all the way down to under 15. So we're trying to make it that it becomes the norm and very much part of our cricketing culture, that from when as early as 14 years old, when you play in your first regional tournament, that the science and medicine team will get into those players and start to educate them, not just on fitness, conditioning, injury recovery, but also on nutrition and rehydration and other very important factors.
Mm. Just before you go, Johnny, what's I mean, we had a situation recently with Dinesh Ramdin. In fact, he was on our show a couple of weeks ago and he expressed great concern about the whole question of his relationship with the head coach, Mervyn Dillon, talking about Red Frost team, and the chairman of selectors, Mr. Tony Gray. And as a result, he's not in the Red Frost side. Is there any concern at the West Indies level about the Ramdin situation?
Not particularly from where I stand. I mean, I think you never expect players to be happy if they're dropped. But ultimately, I'm sure that between the leadership of the TTCB and the head coach, chairman of selectors, and Randon himself, they can get together face to face and work through the issues and be very clear on the way forward and how he can fight his way back into the team. But certainly from my personal perspective, having players of his experience playing in a four-day championship alongside some of our younger players that are coming through, I think is exactly where we want to get to. And I think we've recognised, to be very honest, that our regional cricket is not the standard that we want it to be, and that the gap between our regional cricket and the international stage is far too wide, and we need to close that gap. And having experienced players playing in the Championship and in the Super 50 and in the CPL alongside our young and emerging talent and players that have a real appetite to try and get into the West Indies team is what will help drive up those standards. I'm hopeful that Trinidad will sort it out, and certainly if they're unable to, then I guess Dinesh has his Players Association and ultimately us, if need be, to mediate and to try and find a resolution in any stumbling block that appears before them.
Just before we go, WhatsApp is asking, what ever became of Carlos Brathwaite? I mean, maybe an unfair question to you, but, he remember the name, of course, and then, of course, that big innings against New Zealand, the World Cup, he hasn't been heard about in recent times. Is he still part of your plans, Carlos Brathwaite?
Well, as far as I know, he's alive and well. He was playing cricket, I think, yesterday in the Pakistan Super League. I think it was a surprise to most people in the Caribbean that he wasn't in the Barbados four-day team at the start of the year when he made himself available. And I think it was brilliant that, again, a player that had focused on white ball cricket wanted to come back and play four-day cricket. But then, having seen the way the Barbados Pride team have played and young fast bowlers like Samar Holder and Keon Harding and others have performed, it's easy to see the difficult choice that the Barbados selectors had in terms of picking that squad for the four-day. And ultimately that's, unfortunately, what we want to achieve in our cricket. We want to make it highly competitive to get into the teams and for players to work really hard and be in form to drive, the standards higher and higher. And Carlos is playing cricket at the moment, but obviously having to do that overseas. But hopefully he can play his way into form. And to have someone like that in our setup and in and around the teams is a positive. And, he's done everything he can to keep playing top-level cricket. He obviously chose a few years ago to play for the combined campuses and colleges in the Super 50, and I'm sure he'll continue to do whatever he needs to do to improve his cricket and to try and force his way back into the West Indies team.
Was there a recommendation by Cricket West Indies in relation to Carlos Brathwaite playing for Barbados? Because my understanding is that there was a recommendation coming from your cricketing staff that Craig Brathwaite should be made captain of the Barbados team. Was there any recommendation in terms of Carlos Brathwaite playing for Barbados from the CWI?
Not to my knowledge. I mean, obviously, Carlos made it very clear that he was available to play. Ultimately, he knew that it was a difficult choice for the selectors. In terms of the young talent he had through. So when I spoke to him in January, I think he was just looking to play cricket and desperate to play cricket. And he's obviously got that opportunity now in the Pakistan Super League to get some time in the middle, and hopefully get his way into form and back in the West Indies team.
Okay, well, thanks, Johnny. Make sure you get some honey and lime and get rid of that cold. You've got a lot of work to do, Johnny.
I know, yes, I will. I'm sure I'll make a speedy recovery.
All right, all the best. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thanks.
All right, so there you have it. The CEO of Cricket West Indies, Johnny Grave, making some interesting comments. And I just got that WhatsApp message. Carlos Brathwaite, I mean, what's gone wrong? Well, not wrong, but he hasn't featured at all. Would you have picked him for the Barbados team, Doctor?
It's hard for Carlos to make to make the team. There's we've played a spinner most of the season, and the two young Young Quicks and Roaches interchange, and there's another Young Quick in the wings. So,
mm-hmm. Yes, you got Harden bowling very well. You got Holder bowling pretty well. And in terms of the all-rounders position,
been,
you got
Kevin Stout has come been, in and yeah, done very done, well done with very the bat well.
Yeah,
and with the ball.
Yeah,
indeed. So the Barbados team looks like a well-balanced unit. Hard to for Carlos to fit in right now. But, you know, there's some other teams that are struggling, and maybe there should be some flexibility where teams that are struggling can draft others that aren't being utilized by their franchises.
It's a very good point you're making. I know that there's some people who feel that perhaps you could even have an under-23 side or an emerging player side in the competition, but I suppose it's a question of finances. Because when you look at, say, a Barbados side, you got someone like a Kamari Boyce, who in his first match picked up 7 wickets and cannot even make the squad now.
Yes, definitely.
Don't you think he should be somewhere playing? In fact, Barbados have just brought in young Tevin Walcott, who, you know, under normal circumstances would be in the side, but the side is so difficult to make. And I understand that Jason Holder and Shea Hope, when they come back, may very well be available to play for the Barbados team. So I think some of that cricket West teams have to look at.
Yes, we have to find a way of getting these players that are good enough to play, you know, in sides that are weak. But also we must look at the graduates of the under-19s, you know, the Carties and the others that we may not see too much of. And, you know, a lot of them get lost and fall through the cracks and maybe become disillusioned. And that may be one of the reasons why the cricketers from the under-19 don't develop the way that we would like them to develop. And we wonder, why are we so competitive at the under-19? And then a guy becomes, we next see a guy at 25 or 26 and they seem to drop off the radar. So if we find a way to get the youngsters playing as well as getting these other players into teams that are struggling to have a better tournament, a more competitive tournament, I think it would be better for all of our cricket.
Indeed. Well, we're going to try to make another connection. We are hoping to touch base with Sir Andy Roberts, who said he wants to offer his thoughts on the show this evening. That's one of your favorite contributors.
Yeah, definitely a guy with a lot of knowledge and a passion for the game.
Yeah, 434.
Strongly opinionated.
Yeah, 434-1790. You can also give us a call and participate in the show as well. But I've had a chance to look at some of the regional cricket, and I'm very, very impressed with the Barbados team in terms of that. That fight, that energy, that commitment to win. I think they've recognized that, look, the Guyanese have won it for the last 5 years, and they really, really, really feel that this is their year. And on the evidence of what we've seen so far, they've done very, very well, very, very well.
But also you've seen some of the other teams. Have you seen any other fast bowlers that have got your attention from any of the other teams?
Niall Smith, from Guyana. I think he looks good. And Tony Allen was very much a part of the commentary, as he's been speaking about him. He's got lots of ability. First of all, he looks fit, gets the ball to move around, and has got a bundle of wickets as well. So that's one that would have caught my eye. Of course, Harden has done very well.
Yes.
And of course, you know, when you look at someone like Holder, who I'm sure, I shouldn't say sure, but he should have an excellent opportunity of actually going to England. Let's go and talk to Ian Bradshaw now. Hello, Ian, how are you?
Hi, good night, Andrew.
Good. Now talk to me about this performance by the West Indies team in Sri Lanka. Were you expecting a different result?
I was, to be honest with you. I expected it would be a hard-fought series, but Sri Lanka has not been having tremendous success with their one-day team. And they are very much in transition. I guess like many teams trying to, you know, blood a new crop of players to represent in the next World Cup. But I did think that our performances would have been stronger. Our batting certainly didn't come to the table as it should have. Outside of Shea Hope, we really didn't get the consistency of performances. And I keep saying that if the West Indies team doesn't find a formula to consistently make 320, 330, we are always going to be allowing the oppositions to be in the game. So that's definitely an area that we have to look at. our bowling, we know, is very much a work in progress. And was a bit disappointed with their bowling, particularly in the second game. I think that we were a bit too inconsistent and so forth. Not as disciplined as we should. But I think that is an area that we went into this tournament understanding that we were still trying to get our combinations right. But it certainly felt that we should have moved forward a lot further with our batting in what is generally pretty decent batting conditions in Sri Lanka. Yes, sometimes a bit slow, but from all reports over the years, it's been conditions that you should be able to put up a decent score.
Hi, good night. Well, just looking at it really holistically and put together in this white ball cricket, 4 years ago we won three tournaments and we haven't really lost a lot of our cricketers, and our structure has remained in a similar form. Are we regressing as a white ball cricketing nation? Is it the players? Is it the director of cricket? Is it the coaching? What do you think is happening, especially looking at the women actually on the field and going through their paces? They look so different to the team that we saw just a few years ago.
Well, let's look at it one by one. I understand that, first of all, outside of the 50-over World Cup for the youth, the two other victories we had were in the 2020 format.
Yes.
And where the women are concerned, I think that throughout the region, the standard of women's cricket has fallen back a bit. We are not seeing new, strong players coming through. And when you look like at a territory such as Barbados, who has been very much at the forefront of pushing women's cricket, our cricket structure here has not really developed to a point where we are seeing it really getting the penetration of the youth, so that we get new blood coming through. Because it's important that you get that new blood coming through to add to motivation to the established players, and maybe our women cricketers are finding themselves in a bit of a comfort zone, because they know that they don't have many options. So we tend to be recycling many of the same players. Outside of that, in terms of our 50-over white ball team, we've not done particularly well, certainly in the last 6 or so years. And we've struggled in successive World Cups. That goes down to simply, as they see it, a lack of a formula to consistently put runs on the board. In 50-over cricket, you must have a formula to have runs on the board, unless you have a very dynamic bowling attack. And in the absence of a dynamic bowling attack, which we haven't, we have to be able to put consistent runs on the board. This is a T20 World Cup year, and I do expect that our performance in the T20 team would be, T20 World Cup will be stronger. Because we have players that will go into it with a confidence of having excelled in that format. But as it stands right now, just that confidence without a winning formula will not guarantee us success in that form either. So we're really at some critical crossroads. We, as a Caribbean cricket nation, we need to ask the hard questions of ourselves. Are we judging our players fairly enough, harshly enough, and are we demanding more of our administrators to not accept a level of mediocrity, even at the lower levels? Because it's at those lower levels that we expect to have a feeder system to our elite teams.
Mm-hmm. Should have a role, Ian?
Say that again, Andrew.
Should heads rule?
Well, we've had a lot of changes as it relates to our leadership. It pertains to the leadership of our senior teams. So we've recently had Phil Simmons coming back in. We've implemented Kieron Pollard. So in terms of the structure of our teams, I don't think it's a situation where we can put the blame on the leadership. And I said one of the things that we have to look at is at our regional level, what are we doing differently at our regional level to ensure that there's a quality of character coming through that can challenge and put pressure on the opposition. I know quite often I hear some of my good friends ask, who are the outstanding batsmen that are coming through right now? And we've had a dearth of that quality international batsmen for a while. And with any international teams, you do need that star batsman to help stabilize your team across formats. And we've struggled with that. Right now, our strongest batsman is Shea Hope. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't in any way put him in terms of the elite batsman in world cricket right now. He is emerging. He's showing good signs. But certainly he has not really taken the, as you call it, the bull by your horns and led our batting in a very strong way consistently. So it's going to be important that, as I said, we analyze our feeder systems, because that feeder system allows strong competition. And we have to look probably at countries similar to ourselves. Look at a team such as New Zealand, so forth, who would probably have similar cricketing resources, mm-hmm. and see what structures they are putting in place to allow them to produce players who you can see coming out on the world stage and performing.
Mm-hmm. Has the whole business of having Pollard as captain, has that worked out? Or is it too early to tell?
I would say right now it is still slightly too early.
Mm-hmm.
What
so you want more time then, Ian? You want more time to assess him,
Ron Pollard?
Mm-hmm.
Say that again, please.
You want more time to assess him, man?
Yes, I will. Okay, I will give him a bit more time, because mm-hmm. he's not been in job for particularly long. What I will say from Kieran is that he must understand that he must have accept more responsibility as the most senior batsman. I think that mm-hmm. quite often he finds himself batting at six and so forth in the order.
Mm-hmm.
And we probably need a bit more of that experience further up. It may be a challenge for him himself to look at his own fitness levels and so forth to ensure that he can captain and come out and be an assertive batsman for a greater number of overs.
Yeah.
But we must find ourselves in stronger situations so that we can launch an attack with which is at hand at the back end.
Mm-hmm. All right, we are now joined by Sir Kirtley Ambrose. Sir Kirtley, how are you?
Andy Mason, I'm fine, thank you.
Good. I know you were in Pakistan recently. Why were you in Pakistan? I saw you with our good friend Barry Wilkinson. What were you doing in Pakistan?
Yeah, Barry and I were in Pakistan. No, I was invited by Dr. Ansari for the opening of the PSL.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's the first time that the PSL will be held on Pakistan soil.
Right.
So they wanted as many, well, as they put it, legends to kind of promote the PSL, letting people know that it's safe to be Pakistan, that kind of thing.
I see.
So I thought I'd go and give Pakistan some support.
Right.
And, you know, I had a good few days.
Yeah. Who were some of the other legends, Sir Kirtley?
Well, you know, Saviv is there.
Right.
He's connected to a team.
Right.
You know, Wasim Akram was there. Dean Jones. You know, there are quite a few former legends.
Right.
You know, are taking part or involved in one way or the other, you know, in Pakistan. And I thought that, you know, the doctor flew our good friend Barry, of course.
Yes, yes. First class as well, eh? First class?
Well, of course. I mean, I'm not going to take those long haul in the economy.
I like that. Yes.
Yeah, but it was a very good trip. In a situation where, you know, the hospital, it was very warm. I was kind of surprised, you know, the kind of reception I got. And it was really, really a good few days. I really enjoyed it. And just got to see cricket in Pakistan again.
Mm-hmm. Well, we also have on the line, Ian Bradshaw. Ian, just before I take, because I know Sir Curtly would have commented on the ODIs. Let's quickly look forward, Ian, to the two one-day internationals, the two T20s. One is going to be starting tomorrow at, I think, 9:30 our time. Do you expect the West Indies can come out of Sri Lanka with something positive, a win or two?
Well, I would hope that our pride would have been hurt sufficiently that would provide a motivator to our team to come out of that series victorious. There's not many T20 tournaments in the build-up to the T20 World Cup. And as Sir Curtly would know, winning is a habit. And if you can develop a winning habit from now and we get some confidence going into that T20 World Cup, then we can then dream of success. So I would certainly hope that the T20, I know we have some senior guys back, and I hope that they can help to inspire the younger guys to really pull around their performances and understand that the West Indies are defending T20 champions and we need to play as such.
Mm. Okay, well, thanks very much, Ian, for coming through and talking to us, and get home safely. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you.
All right. So, Curtly, I'm sure you're going to stay with us for a couple more minutes. You would have been in Pakistan when the West Indies would have been playing in Sri Lanka. I heard some of your comments. I know you defended Shehope. People saying that he's very slow in terms of the strike rate. What was your overall impression of the West Indies team playing against Sri Lanka?
I knew that it wasn't going to be an easy trip for the West Indies. I mean, Sri Lanka, they are at home. They know the conditions a lot better than our guys. So I knew it was going to be a big challenge for us. But I still believe strongly that we would have won that ODI series. We have enough players in our team to beat Sri Lanka. When I look at Sri Lanka, this is no disrespect to Sri Lankan team. They played well enough to win. But they know Jai Suwea, they know Jai Wadner, they know Tankakara and all these big name players. So they're not as strong as they used to be. So I thought that we had a perfect opportunity, you know, to beat them on home soil. And, I mean, we came very close in the first game. I think we lost a game by one wicket, you know, and then after that, it was downhill. We never really competed after that. So for me, it was a big disappointment.
Yes, a big disappointment. While you were in Pakistan, Sir Curtly, what were the Pakistanis saying about West Indies cricket? I mean, it used to be so competitive. Are they very concerned about what's happening in West Indies cricket, Sir Curtly?
They are very concerned. Everywhere I go, they kept talking about, well, the question everyone kept asking me, what is wrong with West Indies cricket? And of course, you know, I try to explain, there is not just one main reason. There are a combination of things that's wrong with West Indies cricket. And they, you know, they're very disappointed that we're not competing, because most of them tell me that after Pakistan, West Indies is their favorite team. So the interest in West Indies cricket is still out there. It's just up to us now, you know, to put things in place, make sure we harness the talent that we're still full of talent in the region. You know, and I can guarantee you, Andrew, if the guys start to win some games consistently, win some series, you will find interest will come back. Because people still love the West Indies.
Yes, I would imagine.
Because we play a different brand of cricket. But they're very disappointed the way we are performing at the moment.
So, Curtly, how do you feel? I mean, you would have been part of a very, very successful West Indies team, very competitive. Sometimes when you see the West Indies performing this way, would water come to your eyes, Sir Curtly?
I can tell you, quite frankly, Andrew, that it hurts deeply to see West Indies team performing the way we are, because we are much better than what we are doing at the moment. I mean, just to go back quickly, way back when I started my career with the West Indies team first, one of the things I tell myself, because I'm very, first of all, my pride wouldn't allow me to lose, because I'm a very, very proud man. And one of the things I never wanted is, you know, Karina, we had a late great Michael Marshall, who to me is the best fast bowler we produced. And he was in the team, Courtney Walsh, my good friend was there, Patrick Patterson, and one or two others. And one of the things I tell myself from day one, I don't want to be the weak link in this team. Meaning, You know, some guys will say, okay, the team playing against, let's say, Michael Marshall, great bowler, Seymour, see of Courtney Walsh, and beat up on Ambrose. And I never wanted that. Mm-hmm. So I was forced to learn quickly so I can be at least, well, not on par with the late, great Michael Marshall or with Courtney Walsh, but it's close enough to gain some respect.
Mm-hmm.
So I was forced to learn quickly. So, but nowadays, it seems to me that even before I retire, we started to see the cracks in his cricket.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that one day we will suffer for a few years once we rebuild. And when myself and Courtney Walsh left the scene, you know, the bunch of youngsters coming through. So I knew that one day we will suffer for a couple of years once we rebuild. But to be honest, Andrew, it's been 20 years, and it's definitely too long.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Sir Curtly. You know, you were part of a form level pace attack, and in the years before you, there were equally effective groups. Why do you think we haven't been able to put together a cadre of four world-class fast bowlers since you guys retired?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are a couple of reasons why I think we struggle to get four-prong pace attack.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing to do with the ability or the talent of the players. When Courtney Walsh and I were playing, there are many instances we play in a series, whether it's a test series or ODI series. And let's say we play in a 5-test match series and we already won the series 3-0 with 2 test matches to go. Or we play in an ODI, 5 ODI series and we won the series 3-0 with 2 to go. One of the conversations I used to have with the management team, captain and management, is, you know, we need to expose some of these young fast bowlers. We already won the series. Whether we win 5-0 or 3-0, we won the series. We want these guys to get experience. So, Courtney Walsh and myself are willing to sit out the remaining 2 games just to see how these youngsters shape up without us in the lineup. But, you know, the big talk was, don't change a winning team and, you know, win as many games as possible and all that crap. So when, now, I used to be upset with that because how many guys to get experience? Because when they play alongside myself and Walshy and anything goes wrong, they quickly turn to us to bail the team out.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing is wrong with that. But how many guys to get experience? You got to slow them in the deep end. They can learn to swim by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But they always say, don't change the winning team and, you know, that kind of stuff. So these guys have no experience. So now Courtney Walsh and myself left the scene. Now, this is when they know start to learn or try to learn to fend for themselves. It's too late by then.
Okay. You have mentioned in more than one format that you believe in consistency and you know, restricting the batsmen, putting them under pressure. And even though in the white ball version, the batsmen go to leg or to off or chip down, you've seen our ineffectiveness in the white ball format. Do you think it's just all consistency, or is it that they just try too many things? What's going on there?
It's a combination. Because remember, I spent 2 years with the senior team. So I basically have some first-hand knowledge or information. It's a combination. Most of these guys haven't got the kind of patience that is required in international cricket. Now, most of these players want to take a wicket every delivery they bowl. Now, there's nothing wrong with taking wicket because every bowler wants to see a couple of wickets in the wickets column. You know, let's talk about one-day cricket, for instance, because Test match cricket is slightly different. Let's say ODI cricket. Everyone wants to see a couple of wickets in the wickets column, yes, but there's a process. You can't just go there and decide you're going to try to over-attack and let the team get off for a flyer and then you try to pull it back. To me, ODI one-day cricket is about containment. And if you can contain players long enough, hold tight, hold maiden, restrict them from scoring, it builds pressure. And they, in turn, will have to try something maybe out of the norm to score runs. And then you get a chance to take wicket. What we do most of the time is try to over-attack and the team gets off to a flyer and then we start to try and pull back. And most times it doesn't work. So we do the opposite. We need to contain and build pressure. and the wicket you're looking for will come when batsmen will take unnecessary chances, because they must find a way to score. We're not doing that. Same thing with test cricket. You know, we got 5 days to play. 90 overs every day. It's a lot of cricket. Our guys are not patient enough to try and bowl tight. Wickets will come. Because batsmen are not going to sit there and watch you bowl maiden after maiden after maiden, because sooner or later, they get a good delivery and they're dismissed. No one's on the board. But our guys, I don't think that they're patient enough in this form of the game.
Well, Sir Kirtley, I want to thank you. Just before you go, there are two T20 matches to be played. The first is tomorrow morning, our time, 9:30. You think the guys can come back home with some bacon?
I think they certainly can. When you look at the three format in recent years, we are strongest in the T20 format.
Right.
So I believe that they can win the two T20 games and come back with some sort of, you know, because, I mean, we have a very good team. And the T20, like I said before, we are strongest in the T20 as opposed to ODI and test match cricket. So I believe we can win this two games. However, it's not going to be easy. Sri Lanka are full of confidence after winning 3-0 in the ODI. So it's not going to be easy. But I believe that we can win those two T20 games.
So Kirtley, thanks for coming through and talking to us, Mason and guests, and enjoy the rest of your night.
Thank you very much. And you do the same. And keep the good program going.
All right. Thanks very much indeed. So that's Sir Kirtley Ambrose, just back from Pakistan. And I remember going to Pakistan in 1997 and seeing Sir Kirtley Ambrose bowl there on some of those rather docile pitches in Pakistan. We're going to pause for a business call. When we come back, 44178, you can give us a call. Mason and Guest is brought to you in association with our very good friends at Barbados Lottery, promoting youth sport and culture.
It's time to scratch your ticket. Scratch and you could win it. Plenty lottery games to win. Scratch and you could win something.
Here's your chance to cash in on big winnings for 2020 with the newest $10 scratch ticket from the Barbados Lottery. Purchase a cash-in ticket today for your chance to win up to $100,000 and to double or even triple your winnings on each ticket. So play and win big with cash-in from the Barbados Lottery.
Barbados Lottery.
All right. All right. This is Mason and Guests. I'm Andrew Mason. And let's go and take a call. Hello, welcome. Mason and Guest.
Good evening, Andrew.
Good evening to you, good Randolph.
Day. And to Mr. and Dr. Ford.
Right.
Hi. Now, first, let me say, Andrew, I must continue to commend you and your team for the good work being done in your broadcast. And I think the time has come that Dr. Ford should be elevated to the to the panel.
Okay. All right.
Is he going to start at the test match level?
No, well we'll put him on the wrong table first.
Rules.
Yes, the wrong table. Start at the Empire versus Spartan at Bank Hall.
Right.
Yes, all he right. can start in the derby.
You had a guy who called you from Boston last year, a former opening batsman for Police, who used to open with Carol King.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Commending you and your team for the work.
Yeah, yeah. But now, just before you go, though, I mean, well, just before you go on, I certainly agree. I think Jamal Smith has made a very, very significant difference, along with Antonio Allen, two young men, and they're doing a good job. And I'll tell you, Cricket West Indies are quite happy with their work.
I
got a call from Cricket West Indies today, and they're quite happy with what's coming out in relation to the stream.
And I'm saying this up front for him. I didn't know he born in such a good month. And I think he could be on.
Is that May? Is that May?
No, not at all.
Okay.
He's on his way. I think he could be on his way to be on the BBC broadcast team at Lords or something like that.
He's good, very good, very, very good, very, very good indeed.
So I'm putting in a plug there for him.
All right.
Commentating West Indies cricket from England.
Very, very brilliant.
Now, Andrew, let me say that where the World Cup is concerned this year, it would seem that we are not going to be winning any trophies in the World Cup. We lost the under-19, we lost the ladies, and I think we are going to lose the men as well. Now, where the ladies are concerned, since Sherwin Campbell's time as the coach, who was a batsman, the young ladies is lacking in their batting because of hitting cross. We have been using too many bits and pieces players, coaches in terms of all-rounders. And I think that they have contributed to not being able to properly prepare the young ladies to bat. Mm-hmm. Now, Mr. Logie said, and I'm sure you could recall, that a lot of the ladies were hitting across the line.
Yes, he said that, yeah.
Now, it means that if you had a particular batsman who would have been from a test player, who was from one of the Caribbean, and they said, it doesn't matter which one as far as I am concerned, between opening and down to four, I am sure that the West Indies girls should do a lot better when it comes to batting. Not that they would not hit across at any point in time, but they're hitting across too regularly in their innings, and, you know, it creating significant problems.
Mm-hmm.
On to the where the West Indies are concerned, I think where we are concentrating using our 2020 cricket as the benchmark for our good, our strongness in cricket. Mm-hmm. I think our strongness should come from the test level, and if that is done, you will find that our T20 would improve. Yes, there might be players who would not play test cricket and play T20, but for those who will make such a squad, I'm sure they would enhance the T20 squad.
Mm-hmm.
The Barbados side, I commend them at this point in time, and I hope that they continue to do well. It is hard for a lot of people to get back into the side, and I recognize you said that Holden thing is going to come in. One of my players, I'm sure, will sit out. I think he would have had a very good run, and I hope he will continue to go from strength to strength.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and those players who are in the team perform, if you continue to perform, it would seem very much that Guyana will not take the crown this year. And to the persons with the pitch, where you all had something about the pitch, not in a bad way, it should be paced like fire for the next games that we are going to be playing home. Let's get the grass back within 30.
Right.
Because if we are going to win like champions, we must go in a blaze of glory with the wickets to support our fast bowlers. See how good those two youngsters are bowling? We scarcely can get a spinner, get anything out of the wicket. So do not prepare any wickets there for the spin bowlers, because Jamaica is going to come with spinners and the Leeward Islands going to come back with spinners. So therefore, keep the pace going.
Right.
Andrew, and I will sign off, and I want you to know that it would seem that they might not be, you might have been hoping for a change, but my stats are telling me that there might not be a change in Guyana.
All right, thank you. All right, thanks for your contribution, Randolph. Let's go and take another call. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guess. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guess. Hello, 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 welcome, Mason and Guess.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year.
Now, we've been in a situation where here a lot of these guys calling, talking. The problem with the wrestling is cricket. If a joker leading you, you're going to play a joke cricket. And that is exactly what is happening in the West Indies. We lost the game in the middle. We've played our best batsmen, supposed to be best. We need one of the two of those to help the youngsters. Their singles is very valuable. We could have won that game easily with Perron and the captain batting in the middle. Every middle few singles. There was a million that ball there, and two of them can get a run. Unless the West Indies bring one of these, unless these selectors bring these greats to help the team, I'm very sorry, we're not going anywhere. A lot of people, I heard a lot of these guys, you bring in a program, come and talk. They don't want to be honest, they don't want to be truthful. You have to call a spade a spade. We need for the truthful and despicable Phil Simmons as a West Indies president coach to come and say that he does not want Desmond Hayes at no level.
Caller, we don't know that. And, you know, you got to be careful as to what you actually say in the program. So just be careful. We don't know that. All right, let's take another call. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guess. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guess. All right.
Okay, but what's interesting, Andrew, is that the West Indies have failed to win each of the last five T20 series, and you know, we drew with Ireland at home, which I think, if you were to really analyze that, losing to a team like, I mean, like drawing with a team like Ireland at home, that that speaks to frailty. And in the last eight series, when we go back from July 2018, we've only won one.
Can you imagine?
So the T20 has been struggling as well, even though we've brought back some of the more experienced players. We haven't seen thus far a big improvement in the T20.
No.
And, you know, I think it still boils down to the West Indies having to depend too heavily on the batting. And when we look at our T20 victories, we've had some incredible batting from Marlon Samuels on the two occasions we won, and then we saw Carlos Brathwaite do an unbelievable feat to bring us home in the last T20. But, you know, at each stage we were behind and looked like we were floundering, but we haven't been able to floor or really to dismiss a top team for a small score and win on the on the back of our bowling, even though we've been champions before.
All right. I thought it was important, Doc, and in fact, when we were doing the preparation, I spoke to you about talking to Vasami Pramal. He has done so very well in cricket at the regional level, and look at his performance, 45 wickets already. So we're going to go to, I don't know, if, are you in Burbese, Mr. Pramal, Vasami?
No.
Where are you?
I'm in Georgetown.
You're in Georgetown. Did you get a chance to vote today? Yesterday?
No, I didn't.
No. You came back. I think you came back in the evening yesterday, huh?
Yeah, I think we arrived at about 10 in the night.
10 in the right time, yes. All right. Well, these things happen. Quickly, though, I don't want to take too much of your time because I know you're busy trying to await the results of the elections. I understand we may get them tonight or tomorrow morning. So you were very much in Georgetown. You've bowled so very well, Vasami Pramal, 45 wickets. Why is it that you think you're getting so many wickets in regional cricket?
I think over the years, being consistent as a bowler, try to put a majority of delivery in an area, try to be consistent in an area. And in regional cricket these days, things is to put six balls on an area, something don't happen.
Right. Right, that's very true. And in fact, look at what happened at Trelawney there in Jamaica. How was the pitch there in Trelawney, Vasami? Seems to be
I think it was a good cricket wicket. I think they had a bit of moisture and then it dried off on the second day, and then we had a little bit of rain the third day. And I think with the weather condition, I think the second innings we bowl, I think the moisture around, I think, helped the ball to spin and bounce a bit more.
Mm-hmm. So as the game went on, you got more from the pitch then, Vasami?
I think the fourth innings are coming down later, in coming close to the day play. I think the ball wasn't spinning that much like as it was earlier in the day. Mm-hmm. And the third day, I think because of the weather condition, I think that really changed the condition of the pitch and get the ball to spin and bounce more.
Beautiful. You got, 45 wickets. How many wickets are you looking for this year? 250 million?
I just playing cricket as it is. I go every day, try to do my best in my country, and at the end of the day, whatever I got is the effort I put out will take care of the results and amount of wickets I will take.
Right. Now, in terms of your favorite pitch in the Caribbean, what's your favorite pitch to bowl on in the Caribbean, Vasami?
I think different pitch bring out the different, in me, I think different pitch require different kind of bowling. I think in Guyana, the wicket a bit more slow.
Right.
You know, pace in Barbados, you got a pace, you have to like try to hit the ear and mix up with variation. I think different pitch in the Caribbean, different kind of a bowling require, but I love playing in Jamaica.
You like playing at Sabina Park?
Yes, I think over the years, I always do well against Jamaica, whether it's home or away.
But what happened in the first match though against the Scorpions? You came very close to winning. In fact, you had 180 something to win, and towards the end there, you lost by 9 runs. You were at the crease. You got leg before. thought it was a bit of a harsh one you got, but Jamaica defeated you in the first round. What happened?
I think we didn't bat the way we were expecting. So as a team, you guys know that we didn't bat the way we normally do. We didn't put up any start of partnership or any significant partnership that
right.
got a big lead or a decent lead. And if the game was even at the end of the fourth innings and at the second innings, it's the same thing. I feel like we didn't put up the partnership or get any significant partnership. And that I think that really threw us out. Coming into the last play, and then myself and Joseph, we dig in and try to carry it deep as possible, but it wasn't good enough.
It wasn't good enough. Do you think Ghana will win the championships this year?
I think we got a good chance still. I haven't said that. I think we need to play the kind of cricket we know to play over for the past 5 years, the kind of cricket we play. And I think this year we haven't played our best cricket, especially in the batting. I think we didn't put enough the kind of score that we normally put up. And over the years, the kind of score we put up in the fourth inning really set up the game for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't do that this year. But hopefully, starting this next round coming this weekend, we could get a turnaround from the batsmen and we could see at the end of the 10 round where we stand.
Mm-hmm. Vasami, you've been incredibly successful in the regional game as a spin bowler over the last several years. How do you compare bowling to batsmen in our regional four-day tournament compared to bowling to batsmen in the 6 test matches that you've played thus far?
Mm-hmm.
I think over the years I've been learning and gained more experience. I think I didn't playing this test match, those test match, I think I wasn't that consistent in trying to put 6 ball on an area. And mm-hmm. I think after I've been dropped, I come back and I work on it. I try to put 6 ball on an area. And I think consistency and patience is one of the key things in both formats of the game,
mm-hmm.
whether it's test cricket or 4-day cricket. But I think in the Caribbean, in 4-day cricket, if you put 6 ball on an area, something gonna happen. And in test cricket, you gotta keep putting the ball in the area consistently over a long period of time.
Mm-hmm. Do you think the regional batsmen are impatient or mm-hmm. or tend to try a lot of things? Because you sound confident that something happens once the ball is there.
Yeah, I think over the years, as other team would say that we in the Caribbean don't bat spin well, but I think that we lack the patience in the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We lack the patience. If something happening on an area, we try to lash our way out rather than fight the situation.
Mm-hmm. I see. Pramal, this is absolutely brilliant. 6 matches, 236 overs and 4 balls, 73 maidens, 478 runs, 45 wickets, the best of 8 for 18, and best match all of 15 for 77. Your economy rate is 2.01. That's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I think this year I try to be consistent, right? I think that this year I try to control the economy rate more.
Right.
And in controlling the economy rate more, when you do got wicket, the runs ain't got anywhere.
Right.
So that I try to do this year. Try to put 6 ball in the area and see what happens and control economy rate, and that take care of all the other results.
Just before you go, Vasami, who's the most challenging batsman in regional cricket that you bowl to? Are there any that you really enjoy a contest with? You find they bat you very well? Anyone you can think about in the many years that you've played for Guyana? Anybody that stands out in your mind, a batsman that will give you trouble?
I can't.
You can't
really tell any. Yeah.
No, because
I really can't tell you're any
total dominance.
Total dominance. You owe them all the time. My final question to you, Vasami: are you keen to play test cricket again?
Well, I play in cricket regionally, and once I play in cricket regionally, I must keen playing any cricket for West Indies. And having said that, I think that is beyond my control. I trying to control. White could control at regional level, and and let the Western selectors take care of.
I agree. I agree with that. Well, for Sami Pramal, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Enjoy the rest of your evening there in Georgetown. And by tomorrow, you'll know who will be your next government, I'm sure.
Probably. You take care.
All right. Wonderful indeed. All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your evening, for Sami.
Thank you.
All right, good. I thought, right, beautiful. I thought it was important to speak to him. He doesn't talk a lot. I had to do a couple of maneuvers to get him. I did, in fact, go through certain channels, but I thought it was important to hear from him. I mean, this guy has been an absolute champion.
Tremendous
at this level. 4417 90. I think we got a call that we can certainly take. Can we? We have a change in personnel now. Another gentleman is coming to take over from Larry, who's on his way home. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Good night.
Good night to you.
Yes. USA is very good cricket, but when it comes to the right time, they don't play good.
Well said.
Play at the wrong time. You don't play well when it matters.
Dear me.
That was so well said.
So ma'am, you're very disappointed, huh?
Yeah, but that is true. It's very good cricket.
Yeah. So you're going to be up tomorrow. Well, it's 9:30 in the morning to watch the first T20.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to T20. I don't know.
But are you going to be up watching? You're going to be watching it.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Have you been watching the Barbados team? Have you gone to Kensington for the regional games?
No.
Have you been listening?
Yeah, so what, like them in this time?
Yes, well, you know, Ghana, they've won it for the last 5 years. Mm. All right, well, thanks for your contribution. Continue to listen to Mason and Guest. Let's go and take another call. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Yes, I would like to make a contribution.
Oh, you're very much on air.
Yes. I think many of the problems that the West Indies are facing happens in the selection room. And I say that because when I look at some of the players that are playing, some of them are T20 specialists.
Right.
They've done that well in T20, and then we put them into the one-day setup, and they don't do well, and then we drop them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to identify which players are T20 specialists and can only play T20. So it's not just about white ball cricket. I think a perfect example is a player who was mentioned earlier, Carlos Braffitt.
Right.
Who won with 4 sixes in the last World Cup. And may not get a look in for this one because he was dropped because he, quote-unquote, didn't perform in the last 50 over World Cup, yet he did score a century. And he can't get a look in his specialist era, which is T20. And I think that I could call players like Ashley Nurse, who was dropped based on his performance in 50 over again, but was a performer for Barbados when it mattered. In the T20, in the CPL. So I think we need to start looking at horses for courses and stop labeling a guy as a white ball cricketer. There are some persons who are T20 specialists. I think of like Samuel Badri. T20 specialist, number one.
Is our current captain a T20 specialist only?
I think he is.
You don't think he should be playing ODI?
I don't think he should be playing
ODI. Somebody here is sending me a WhatsApp saying that as well.
And I think that's where the problem lies. And we got to identify this. People like Andre Russell, they don't think they really want to play 50 over cricket.
And I
think that that's where. And
I think that's a good point you're making, Carla. I certainly believe that there's something that we need to look at.
And I question, why would you put Shea Holt back in the T20 setup? I'm trying to understand that selection. To me, let him concentrate on his 50 over and test.
Right.
And you have Puran who can keep.
Caller? Shea Holt? Would you put him in the... Or he's done so well to merit selection?
Well, I think we have to look at Shea's workload. Shea is a cricketer, so he can play all formats, but I don't think it's necessary for him to
play the
T20. He's done so well.
Right.
He's kept wicket and he's scored runs, and he even said he thinks he should have scored more runs than he scored, even though he was the only one who got past 100 and got past 200.
Exactly.
But we have to look. I expect him to get to relax and we'd see what Brandon King has. We haven't been able to see.
No, what he's been a bit of a disappointment. Yes, caller?
My last point is the question of experience. You're going to the World Cup. You want to carry your experience. experienced players who can perform at crunch time.
Right.
And Ashley Nurse is a big day horse. Carlos Braffitt is a big day horse. And we need those two players.
Big day horses.
In the T20 setup.
You need them at the Gold Cup then.
Seems unlikely we'll be seeing either of the two of them before
right.
the World Cup.
Interesting, interesting comments you're making.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for your contribution, caller. In fact, there's a gentleman here saying, as long as they select Shamar Holt to go to England, I really don't care anymore. Interesting comment coming from...
That's one goal.
Ooh, that was a pretty, pretty tough one there. All right, let's go and take another call. Can we? Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Good evening.
Good evening. Hey.
Good evening.
Good night. Well,
good evening. I'm calling you from the very most distinguished parish house in Barbados.
Oh. Where is that?
Oh, in St. Joseph.
St. Joseph.
Okay. And
I thought
you were going to say St. Philip.
I thought you were going to say St. Philip.
Better than Mason Town.
well, you know for sure St. Joseph is the smallest parish in Barbados. That's a fact.
We have the sweetest food.
No, this is why it was told too.
And I am calling to extend. You were not there. I saw the sweetest and the latest late cut.
Yes.
From Sir Everton Reach.
Okay.
Belated birthday greeting.
Right.
And that is how Garner and Haynes learned to play cricket, because Haynes went to my school and the first runner three cup. Mm. You were in Vogue then.
Mm.
I used to play truant.
Oh, yeah.
And go to see Freddie Truman.
Okay. Freddie Truman.
I watched them all.
Really?
That's
way back, huh? Are you 21, caller?
I am only 16.
Okay, all right.
And then my whole family and my mom, who was a dressmaker, we would cook all the delicious food.
Right.
And come down to Kensington.
Uh-huh.
And we got friends with people. As soon as the city carried off and the big saucepans and thing coming up, you would hear people say, "Come on, sweetheart. Hello, cousin." It was wonderful.
Wonderful. Do you still go to cricket at Kensington?
I went and I had lunch with Sir Everton.
Oh, really?
A few years ago.
Oh, 3 years ago, okay.
With the late Trevor Shepherd.
Right.
We lost a good gentleman. You know, he was an Empire fan.
Yes.
But I was there, and I had lunch in the same
Wonderful.
Thing. But wonderful thing about it, after the thing, I tell you what I did when Sir Gary was batting against India, he and that guy from Trinidad. What is his name? They were twin brothers. When I got on the Kensington steps, Sir Gary was dropped at 68.
Right.
It was New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Sir Gary at that same time. I was so timid when I saw the man. You know, he's sensational. But I will share it with Barbados, and I will share it with you tonight. Mm-hmm. I was in South Carolina, and I went into a Pakistani store to get some stuff. And the guy said, I said I was from Barbados. We, in this country, do not know the legend we have. He said, "You from Barbados? You got Jerry. So he's a Pakistani." He said, "You go there every evening. You got his window. Look at him. This is real."
Mm.
He said he asked me if we in Barbados just go up there and worship this man, if we know what icon we have.
Mm-hmm.
A living legend icon. And I want to bring it up now as we are in gathering.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I watched him when he was paying 50 cents in his co-children stand at Kensington. Right. And a man, when he flew through the air, you miss all of his thing. Mm-hmm. I went to Kensington and I used to loan my father $10. I went to see Gary and Everton. You, these people could play.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember that guy? A guy named Wes Hart?
Yeah, Wes Hart.
He learned to board in St. George for Andrews Brownhill.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
wonderful.
And a man named Cherry Smith used to buy a whole case of malt and feed upon them. We quickly don't get chicken and chips. Every Sunday, you should come to cricket.
Right.
People used to come to Barbados, to St. Joseph, to see Wes Hallball, Andrews Long Hill.
Wonderful. All right, well, but we got a couple of other callers backed up as well, so...
But I want you to know that you alone in North cricket.
All right. Well, all right. I know that for a fact. Thanks for your contribution. All right. Let's take another call. Okay. Yeah, hello. Welcome, Mason and Guest.
Listen to your phone, caller. You're on.
Hello. Welcome, Mason and Guest. Hello. Welcome, Mason and Guest.
Good night.
Good night to you.
Yes, sir. The truth is that I'm tired of the nonsense of people calling people like Brathwaite and Durst and them, these specialists, and this nonsense with training specialists. If you can play cricket, you can play cricket. A lot of these guys cannot play the game, and they don't understand the game. If you are a batsman, you can back in 20-20, 50-50, and 200-200. You agree or you don't agree?
Yes, I agree with you.
There's too much of this nonsense of specialists, and all they are doing is sweeping across the ball all the time, and there's this perception that the West Indies are boundary hitters, and we don't run the singles and the twos and so on. We need to learn to pick. That's the bottom line. We need to learn to pick. Okay? Where as players is concerned, I would love to see Versailles and Pamal back in the West Indies team in the 50-over and the T20. If you check carefully for the CPL, he is one of the better bowlers in the CPL that nobody talks about.
Yes, he's a forgotten man. He's a forgotten man.
Forgotten player.
Yeah, he's a forgotten player. And he's very tight, very tight.
And maybe you're going to talk with big deer horses. We don't need big deer horses. We need everyday horses.
Oh, everyday horses. Right.
Everyday donkeys. We don't need a big deer horses.
Right.
Because if you only score 50 every 15 games, we lost 14 already. You only have plus than one. That's nonsense. Tell me where could you go to work anywhere and out of 10 days you perform bad nine and you still got a job. You don't have a job. You got to be serious
with
this thing.
I agree with you.
You know what I mean? And they just start learning to play the game and start coming and walking the team together for you. I know that a lot of people hate me for saying this, but I still think that the reason why I have no problem with Paulie being the captain of the 50-over game, I think Paulie trades hard. He limited, yes, but he thinks he trades. I think it's too much pressure on Holder with the three formats of the game. I believe Holder should concentrate more on the test game. As you can see, he's been improving in that capacity as a captain. Let him think. Take some of that pressure off for him. And I think the next person to think was Paulie. I think Paulie's trade hard. He's limited, but he's very hard, and where he's batting and so on is concerned, right? But we've got to get serious about cricket and stop the nonsense about big deer horses. Marlon Sam's a big deer horse. You remember that, eh? And we lose this so many games only because they won, huh? You know what I mean? Sometimes you go and gamble. These gambling cricketers. Gambling, Jesus Christ, and you miss, you lose some, and one day you hit a little jackpot, and you feel like you're the biggest gambling world. No, you got to be consistent. Our players don't have consistency, sir.
All right. Thanks for your contribution. We're going to try to stick a couple of calls in. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Good evening, Mr. Mason.
Good evening.
And good evening, Dr. Ford.
Good night, sir.
Now, it would be remiss of me if I heard of something that's commendable to your show and don't say to you.
Sure.
A caller prompted your station manager, Mr. David Ellis, asking for more time for Mason and Guest show. And they went into a discussion and they ended up saying, well, you know, Mr. Ellis said, well, you know, it's the best show that VOB hosts, you know? So I said, wow.
Wow.
So I don't know if anyone would have relayed that to you, but it's a fact that Mr. Ellis said that Mason, I guess, is second to none.
You mean after my shows? Ron, you mean after my shows? You mean after the night shift?
I'm only the bearer of the news. Let me say to you, I knew I anticipated this, you know.
Yes.
I can tell you when I anticipated it.
Yes.
When I heard you say the changing of the
I knew this was going to come.
Inevitable. Inevitable.
Yes. But quickly, when I heard Sir Curtis speaking about patience, it did something to me in respect of, I mean, you're all applauding away week after week, month after month, year after year. Are you satisfied, Mr. Mason, with your dividends paid from all the efforts you all make evening after evening?
No.
Are you satisfied with
No, not at all. And it seems as if...
I know you can't be.
You know, I mean, when you look at the women, I mean, when you look at the New Zealanders and the English team and the Australian team, first of all, they look much fitter than our cricketers. I mean, and that's important. And, you know, I really feel, as we were saying, Caribbean Paralyze, real, real bad about this. I mean, look at what happened as far as Sri Lanka is concerned. You know, it would have been unthinkable a couple of years ago. These teams just come and play and we could just beat them and go home. But nowadays, we are struggling to beat Afghanistan.
But let me say to you, I can't get it work out.
No.
We try to look at it.
No.
That F cricket is still a bat and a ball and a player. What has gone wrong
right.
for all these eons and nobody seemed to be able to put the finger, effectively on it and say, let us get back there.
Right.
I mean, here, y'all, I commend y'all, but will we get back? There's the issue here, you know. That is the strong, pertinent issue in all the efforts y'all are trying to bring about. I regard you, folks.
Thank you very much, Raul, for coming through and talking to us. Always a pleasure to hear you on Mason and Guest. We're going to take our final commercial break. Mason and Guest is brought to an association with our very good friends at Barbados Lottery, promoting youth sport and culture.
It's time to scratch your ticket. Scratch and you could win it. Plenty lottery games to win. Scratch and you could win something.
Win up to $200,000 instantly with Cash Money, the new $20 instant super scratch ticket from the Barbados Lottery. The Cash Money Super Ticket has four games on each ticket with a whopping 62 chances to win. Available at Barbados Lottery agents island-wide.
It's time to scratch your ticket. Scratch and you could win.
All right, let's take another call. Hello, welcome to Mason and Guest.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening to you.
Good evening.
I am coming in here to... I watch the women's game. You hear me?
A true fan, yeah.
Yeah, I watch the women playing, and I could see that they were out of sorts. I mean, we struggled to beat that team from up in Asia. And when you struggle to beat that team from Asia, I say that we will not get in no final in this World Cup.
Right.
Right? Because you got DeAndre Dutton is not fit because she just come out with injury.
Right.
She haven't got a banner again. As somebody said, even Haley Matthew, who was batting so good within the last thing, it's hit and cross the ball too much again, LBW. And I don't understand what is going on. And you see, I started with a run.
She's got 26 runs, highest of 16, averaging 8.66.
Haley Matthews. I mean, the best was the captain. Sorry that she got hurt. But, I mean, to bring a Trinidadian woman to open, a woman that just swiping.
Yeah.
She hit 20 runs and she went back and sat down like she met 100. This is the kind of thing that happened, and we are not putting enough money into the women's game. We are not finding enough matches for them to play. And as somebody said, I was asking myself, where are the young ones coming through? Because this team is aging right now, right? We are looking at an average age in this women's team, looking for something like 31 or 32. And we got to look for younger players, and there are some good young women cricketers in Barbados who ain't getting looked at all.
Right. In fact, just before you go, we have someone, they're listening in Brooklyn, New York, and they're agreeing with you. They're saying the women are hitting across the ball regularly. Only Taylor is batting sensibly. Dutton was lacking match practice. So they're agreeing with you. there in New York.
And the main thing.
Cross-hauling in the old days.
With Pollard.
Just before you Pollard? Go again, just before you go again, because I think it's important, Winston Benjamin is listening there in Antigua, and he says that he's asking the question, do you think Alzari Joseph should be given a chance to play in the shorter version of the game? So thanks to you, Winston Benjamin, for listening to Mason and guests there in Antigua. Continue, caller.
Yes, dealing with the main team. I think I want more action from Pollard than talk. No. But this is the man that everybody that want and put all the wants. Like. Somebody said that he's been around too long not to make runs in that department for that team.
Mm-hmm.
It's average for West Indies playing the ODI cricket. It's not so fantastic either.
Mm-hmm. Average 19 in this series.
He needs to buckle down and stop quarreling with the men that wrong you.
Yeah, Pollard's average hasn't changed much since he's become captain. It's still around 25, 26. But
he needs to lead from in front. He's not leading from in front. Right? And I told you all already, we will not win that T20 World Cup bringing back people like Bravo and those guys. We have lose it.
Right.
By disrupting that team that was going. Charles Babbitt should be still in that T20 team. I don't care what the boy talk about, he's a big day hard or not. The kind of attitude he brings to his cricket, I like it. He's very competitive. He likes to win. But you know this T20 thing? This is fooling us about our cricket. It's really fooling us. We need to get serious action. We got too much young players in the Caribbean that we should be using instead of bringing back those boys. Mm-hmm. Those boys like the Pollers and the Bravos.
Mm-hmm.
But if I take them to Australia and they make me, and I lost the 20, let me tell you, I hope they don't be looking at them again.
Heads would roll. All right, caller. Well, thanks for your contribution. We're going to try to stick a couple more calls in before we go. In fact, Trevor Clark writes, West Indies need a bowling coach.
Well, I mean, we did speak about the, you know, what have we seen a development in the bowlers and ball skills? I mean, we looked at Cottrell, who's not had such a good tournament, and he isn't straightening the ball, like Bolt would.
No, yeah,
and,
indeed.
And we haven't seen the swing, the reverse swing, the cutters, the seamers. We haven't really seen a lot of changes. I mean, Alzari Jones is the one shining light in the fast bowling department. And the question was asked, should he play T20? I think that's the question.
Right, okay.
Well, I guess it's about, you know, workloads.
Right, agreed.
Does he have that desire?
Dennis Phillip, who is the president of the St. Kitts Cricket Association, sends a note. Dennis is here and I'm listening. So thanks to you, Dennis, there in St. Kitts, Circle City, listening to Mason and guests. Let's take another call. Rhea Ford, who's very, 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 very active in the chat. He's also listening and he's coming all the way from Michigan. So Rhea, it's nice to have you on Mason and guests. We should maybe give you a call sometime. Let's go and take another call. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Hi, Andrew. I'm Bob Ford.
Right. Good night. Good night.
I just want to make a couple of quick points.
Sure.
I was watching a lot of the women's T20, and there's a young lady that I'm very, very impressed with. The Indian opener, Verma.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, she is a serious, serious, serious talent. I need to look out for her in going forward in the future. As far as I was listening intensely to some of the other callers, and I'm hearing repeatedly saying, oh, give some of the other youngsters a chance. They vote the Bravos and the Pollers. I mean, are we serious about winning the World Cup? Because I don't see the youngsters winning us this World Cup. So we might as well take the Bravos and the Russells, who are proven performers, and who any one of those individuals can single-handedly win us one of the games. So we only need one or two of those guys to perform each game to win this World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
People are talking, oh, the youngsters. I mean, we have given Brandon King
Yes, he's been a bit of a disappointment, Brandon King.
Huh? Also a disappointment. Again, Hayden Ward cannot pitch two balls in the same area.
Oh, dear.
And I'm wondering what's happening at practice. Because this guy, I can't understand. He will bowl a good ball, and then he cannot do it again for a second thing in a row. I mean, I watched this like a leg spinner. Just came in, and I mean, having a lot of batsmen. It's probably not picking the Rowan. Huh? You know, Ward also has a good Rowan as well. But, I mean, I haven't seen him beating any batsmen with it. You know, I think, though, that as long as the stars start aligning in time for the World Cup, I do feel that we have a very good chance of return. And, I mean, guys are complaining about the Russells and stuff. But Russell can win you a good few T20 games single-handedly.
Once he's fit.
Yeah, once he's fit, providing he's fit. That's the important thing.
Right,
yeah.
These
guys are qualified. Pardon?
Right. In fact, Vincent Benjamin is right, and he says nothing mentioned about Alzarri Joseph. All I'm hearing about is Shea Hope.
Yeah,
we didn't mention Alzarri. Alzarri is a top bowler, by far the best young fast bowler.
Yeah, I think you got to pick like for like. Anything is either going to be between Alzarri Joseph and O'Shane Thomas.
Right.
O'Shane is a lot quicker. I mean, on. I would hope that I'm looking forward to more to see how much he's improved and if he's really learning.
Right.
But O'Shea Thomas firing on all cylinders is a dangerous bowler.
Right.
And he may get the nod ahead of someone like a Gary Joseph.
Right.
And can't fit everyone in things.
Right. I want to thank you for coming through and talking to us because we're bang on the 8 o'clock, and it's certainly been a pleasure talking to you. And I'm so glad that we were able to. Make the connection with the callers here in Barbados, of course, essentially, and of course, getting all these WhatsApp messages. In fact, I'm now getting one from Pakistan. Guy is saying that he's listening in Pakistan. He's a Barbadian. He's been there for 5 years, and he's quite upset. Basil Morgan is saying, good night, my friend Andrew, listening to you from all the way in Montserrat. We also have another call quickly coming in from, where is this coming from? It's coming from Jamaica. Joan says she's listening there in Jamaica. She's in Trelawney, and Vincent Benjamin is writing again, but I simply cannot take all of them now because time is up. But one final one, our good friend Ray Ford is saying, you must mention that I'm listening from all the way in Michigan. I'm Andrew Mason. Keep listening to Mason and Guests, and I hope that we can come back again next week and continue the program. On behalf of the entire team, it's open for a bride tomorrow. It's good night.